Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It is 1994. Chuck Searcy comes back to Vietnam. He's an accomplished political actor. He's extremely thoughtful and careful. He's very well spoken. He meets the American community in and around Vietnam at this point, including Adelaide Borden, who has had experiences of the damage of Agent Orange or something like it for many years. However, what Chuck Searcy also sees is what George Black, the author of the book, has just identified, the damage done by unexploded ordnance. An enormous amount of bombs have been dropped over Vietnam, chiefly in one place, I Corps, and along the coast, although there are other places where cluster bombs were used, and in Laos. And always to remember, Laos was also a target zone of the bombing and the herbicides. Chuck Searcy sees something he can do, but it's a mixed picture right now until Bill Clinton and his administration open a door with diplomatic relations. It's going to happen in 95. Was it a near thing, George, for the Clinton administration to open that door?
Oh, yeah, very much so. There was still a furious opposition to normalization in Congress. And really at that point, and I think this makes an important point about bipartisanship, the move to normalize relations depended to a very large extent to veterans in the Senate who had credibility of both parties. And the two key figures in this were, well, three key figures. One was John Kerry, who, of course, was the most famous of the anti-war political leaders. The second one was John McCain, who had immense authority as a former prisoner of war, who had been tortured in the famous Hanoi Hilton prison. And the third was Pete Peterson, who was another pilot who had been imprisoned in Hanoi, who was sent as the first ambassador. And that gave Bill Clinton a huge amount of necessary political cover, which allowed the process to proceed. But it was very fraught. 94, 95, it was on a knife edge.
UXO first, the unexplained ordnance. Chuck Searcy sees it as something he can do. And eventually he will be putting together something he calls the Renew Project, which is an acronym. He also meets Charles Bailey for the Ford Foundation in Hanoi, in Vietnam. And they come together with a man named Jan Scruggs, who's earned by the year 2000 a great fortune in E-Trade and helps Chuck Searcy put together his ongoing organization to help people who've been damaged by the bombing. This is all happening at once. But again and again, I think I say correctly, the American ambassador, the Clinton administration, even Chuck Searcy and the Ford Foundation were reluctant to get involved in the herbicide story. Is that correct, George? Everybody hung back from that because of the controversies.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that question. Let me just correct one thing. Jan Scruggs was the veteran who came up with the idea of the Vietnam Wall and the Vietnam Memorial Fund in Washington. It was a colleague, Christos Kotsakos, who was another veteran who had fought in I Corps, who made the fortune in E-Trade and used some of that money to start up Project Renew. But what I would say all of these people had in common, including Searcy, including Charles Bailey of the Ford Foundation, including Lady Borden, they didn't come in and say to the Vietnamese, here are these solutions to your problems, which we've cooked up in America. They came in with a common question, which is, what do you need and how can we help? And in every case, what they did was driven by the guidance, the cooperation they had with their Vietnamese partners. You know, Chuck Searcy did not found Project Renew. He worked with a local Vietnamese official, a very charismatic and very smart young man whom I've met in Quang Tri, called Hoang Nam, to start this project. Everything Lady Borden did was guided by the circle of Vietnamese friends and colleagues that she developed. Charles Bailey, who came from the Ford Foundation, was not initially looking at Agent Orange. that wasn't the kind of thing the Ford Foundation did, but he was given a very broad mandate. His boss basically said, you'll figure out what to do when you get there. And one day he was an agricultural specialist. And he basically was looking for improved farming techniques to address poverty. And he was taken to this area one day by some local scientists to an area of the Central Highlands. And he said, why are all these hillsides naked from erosion? Where are the forests? And his host said, well, they were defoliated. So from that moment, he basically said, so what do you need? And they said, aid to the disabled and aid to restore the landscapes that were destroyed. And that became a huge part of his work from 97 onwards.
We introduce now a Canadian, Chris Hatfield, and his Hatfield Associates, working very carefully, but almost in feeling their way in an unknown landscape about the herbicides and about the damage done to the triple canopy jungle, to the water, to the fields, and to the people. Very carefully, they approach this by asking for studies. Eventually, they get blood samples. But everybody's reluctant, not just the Americans, but also the Vietnamese leadership in Hanoi. Why were they reluctant to embrace what Chris Hatfield was doing to urge people to participate in these studies?
Well, I think that generalizes a little bit. I think there were two schools of thought. You know, the economic reformers in Vietnam knew how fraught the issue of Agent Orange was for the Americans, and they steered clear of it. The medical community and the military community particularly really knew how serious the problem was and were very angered by the fact that their scientists were being dismissed as propagandists. There's one section of the book that I have always thought was one of the most important sections, which discusses the work of the first generation of Vietnamese wartime and post-war scientists. To see these people written off as propagandists and extortionists is absurd. These were world-class scientists. The leader of the group, Dr. Tong Tat Tung, is publishing articles about liver disease in The Lancet, you know, the great medical journal in Britain, on liver disease.
Let's tell the story, George. We'll tell the story when we come back. George Black, okay. We're going to now address the revelations of the herbicides. The book is The Long Reckoning, a story of war, peace, and redemption in Vietnam. George Black is the author. I'm Tom Patrick.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.